This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisan and Wong Shaoning. It is 7:37 in the morning, Friday the 18th of December, which means that in half an hour or so, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. And it's an interesting one today. Roshan, what's happening?
Well, I'll be speaking with Khairil Abdullah, CEO of Axiata Digital Services, I think more commonly known for its Boost e-wallet. So as telco services become increasingly commoditized, these companies have been looking at different ways to diversify their businesses. And for Axiata, this came in the form of Axiata Digital Services. They have ventured into digital financial services, but also just anything that isn't the traditional telco domain, right? That said, though, the digital arm is still loss-making and a drag on group earnings. So I'll be getting into this with Khairil Abdullah, the CEO of Axiata Digital Services, to find out their timeline to profitability, their leading business units, and possible IPO plans, if any. So all this and more in 20 minutes.
Interesting stuff. Be sure to stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. In the meantime, though, we are turning our attention to this piece of international news. Because last month, the US Congress passed legislation that could see Chinese companies delisted from US stock exchanges for non-compliance with auditing oversight rules. The Holding Foreign Companies Accountable Act is a bipartisan law aiming to protect American investors from Chinese companies that lack transparency. And it could be seen as part of a broader push by the US to take a tougher line against Beijing in economic areas.
China has previously accused the US of politicizing securities regulation, which it said would force Chinese companies to list outside the US and ultimately weaken confidence in American capital markets. There are more than 200 Chinese firms with a combined market cap of around $2.2 trillion listed on major US stock exchanges as of October. So the big question here is, what kind of implications could this new legislation have for investors, companies and capital markets?
Joining us on the line to weigh in on this is Brock Silvers, Chief Investment Officer at Kaiyuan Capital. Good morning, Brock. Thank you for joining us. So why has the US Congress passed this law? What does this legislation ultimately aim to achieve?
Good morning. Look, the underlying core issue, I think, is fairly simple. Chinese law prohibits Chinese companies from adhering to the U.S. law in terms of corporate audits, and U.S. regulators want to rectify that by accessing underlying audit data. Chinese law prohibits this, and that's really the struggle that we're seeing played out.
And what are the implications for Chinese companies already listed on the U.S. stock exchanges, as well as companies looking at prospective U.S. IPOs? I mean, what you're describing here is basically these two sets of laws are going head-to-head with each other.
Yeah, look, there's little room to compromise, but the companies in violation of the law probably wouldn't be impacted for 3 years at a minimum. And there could be bilateral negotiated solutions during that period. But nonetheless, Chinese companies continue right now to access U.S. capital markets. This dispute was also, I think, one of the main triggers for China's recent efforts to repatriate overseas companies. So I would say the law perhaps isn't so ferocious, but it is already having an impact.
Will this have an impact on the investability of Chinese ADRs? Will it reduce their attractiveness?
You know, I certainly think it could. It introduces a new level of uncertainty into the market, and that certainly can't be good from an investor point of view.
So some Chinese critics of the law argue that it weakens American capital markets. Does this reasoning hold water, or would transparency be the better trade-off in the long term?
You know, it does weaken U.S. capital markets to the extent that quality companies are driven to foreign exchanges. But what we have to ask is whether or not that's really what we're seeing. You know, the law might have stopped Luckin Coffee, for example, from harming investors on U.S. exchanges. The U.S. simply wants all companies on U.S. exchanges, not just the Chinese ones, but all of them, to adhere to a common set of rules. Now, long term, I'm not sure that that's really a weakness.
So I guess the question here then is that, I mean, that all the U.S. wants is for all companies to abide by the rules, right? And I think China is one of the few markets that doesn't comply with this auditing part at this point. They've had exemptions before this. But with all this, will this indirectly have an impact of strengthening Hong Kong and Shanghai stock exchanges as companies look for stability when they start to list?
In the short run, it will certainly help these local exchanges. You know, the Hong Kong and Shanghai should be very happy about this development. There's no escaping that the law and related efforts are pushing Chinese companies back to Chinese exchanges. But would China ultimately have benefited from, again, having a lock-in listed on a local exchange? I'm not sure it would have. Over time, transparency and the uniform application of law, I think, will strengthen any market. And the lack of those qualities, it just can't be a long-term benefit.
Do you see Joe Biden continuing this policy framework going forward?
You know, I think President-elect Biden may have little room to maneuver. There's little appetite within either U.S. political party to retreat vis-a-vis China. It's sort of the one issue that unites all of American politics. And given some of Biden's family corruption allegations, I think it will be especially hard for him to go soft. So Trump would have been harder on the relationship, but Biden may not be a softie either.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Brock. That was Brock Silvers, Chief Investment Officer at Cai Yuan Capital, with his thoughts on a new law that is going through the US Congress, looking at basically mandating that Chinese companies comply with their audit standards. And interesting that he makes the point that he's of the opinion that this does weaken U.S. capital markets, but in the long term, you know, transparency is not necessarily a bad thing. Shanning, what were some of your thoughts here?
Yeah, transparency, or at least a common uniform application of whatever, whether it's accounting rules or auditing rules, do help actually investors make this decision, because you're not worried whether there's rule A for this country and then rule B for, you know, country C. So it, standardization is always better. But I wonder whether a regulation is the way to go, because even the SEC and the stock exchanges in US, they have acknowledged that there are long-standing problems with publicly traded Chinese companies, but they've been advocating a market driven approach instead. So, you know, having these Chinese companies voluntarily accepting a higher degree of oversight from auditing firms rather than imposing, you know, regulation. So I guess that's that balance there. But for sure, this is actually good for the Chinese and Hong Kong stock markets, because now Chinese companies are going, no, let's not bother with US. Let's just list in Hong Kong. It's faster, easier, and more direct. And then we don't have to deal with excessive regulations.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, right, I think China is one of the only markets when you list on a US stock market that doesn't need to comply with these auditing, right? Because according to, and as Brock mentioned as well, Chinese law doesn't allow this to happen. And let's just look at Luckin Coffee for an example, right? They raised $650 million on the NASDAQ when they listed on the NASDAQ, the first time sale. This was in 2017. And they allegedly fabricated more than $300 million in sales between April 2019 and January 2020. They basically made up the sales numbers. And this is something that you have to, it's bad for, I mean, if you think about it, it doesn't inspire confidence in investing in Chinese companies, because you're always going to have this nagging feeling at the back of your head whether there is, this is another Luckin Coffee. Are these numbers real? Should we trust these numbers? I mean, let's not talk about the big companies out there, but this is one of those risks that comes to light, right, Shanning?
Yeah, but fraud happens everywhere, right? We just have to look at Wirecard in Germany. That was a tremendous fraud. An auditing firm went through the accounts and didn't find anything. And even in Malaysia, we had these Chinese listed companies for a short while, which fabricated their cash holdings, and a lot of them are delisted. So if you really want to be, if you really want to defraud investors, you'll find a way, unfortunately.
Yes, so this is something that we will be keeping a watch on and bringing you updates as we get them ourselves. Right now, though, we are about to head into some messages. And up next, speaking with Azrul Mohamed Khalib, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, on vaccine distribution here in Malaysia. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.